Glory, glory. I want us to take just a moment and pray and ask God that He would give us a fresh revelation of who He is today. You know, He never changes, but the way that we understand God unfolds. When you make the decision to come in and worship God, you get a little bit more of the picture of who He is. What that enables you to do is have something else to look at other than your problems and other than your weaknesses. So in just a moment, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray on every location from Roanoke to Toronto. What a contrast. Roanoke, Virginia, Toronto, Canada, same God. There's no regional gods. There's no national gods. There's not many gods. There's one God. And today we set aside our preferences. We set aside all of the things that make us different. And we gather together under the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. How many came to worship Him and Him alone? Come on, if you came for His presence and nothing else, me too. So we call Him Waymaker, Miracle Worker, because we believe that right now in your life He is making a way. And if you want to come into agreement with this confession today, lift your hands in His presence. You are the great I am. You are the great physician. You are the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You are the way maker. You are the God of heaven and earth. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You are the promise keeping, covenant making God. You are the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Shadrach, the God of Meshach, the God of Abednego, the God of Stephen, the God of Holly, the God of Graham. You are the God of that brother, that sister going through hell, but they won't smell like smoke because there's a fourth man in the fire. We praise You for Your presence today. Mighty God, we ask You to do a great work in our hearts. Shine light on our situation. Give us Your presence, nothing less. Rain on Your people, God. You are a great King. Can we give God an incredible praise? God is so faithful. And I, for one, am glad that He let me see another day, another year, another decade. How many have this testimony that if it had not been for the grace of God, I wouldn't have made it to this point in my life? Y'all saw
Try his fall when you stand. I watch you.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. Welcome to Ascend Church. Stand up if you would and join in and sing with us. Off, thought I ain't gone too far. There I found your love. The fear I used to know can't tie me anymore, 'cause I found your love. When I feel alone, I have a place to go, 'cause I found your love. Great was the debt of sin. Grace brought me back. stars, declaring who you are. Your love, uncontainable. Your love is deep enough to reach the deepest part of me. Your love, uncontainable. Your love is higher than the stars, declaring who you are. Your love, uncontainable. Your love is deep enough to reach the deepest part of me. Your love, uncontainable.
Darkness run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have a resurrection power, yes I do. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'm testified by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Together, sons and daughters, fought with blood and washed in water. Sing the graces of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story.
And I'll testify
by Jesus Christ the righteous.
I'm justified.
This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Ooh. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done.
You're not done, you're not.
Greater things are still to come. If I'm not dead, then you're not done.
Ooh.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story.
I'm testified
by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Thank you. my testimony
from death to life.
'Cause grace rewrote my story.
I'll testify.
By Jesus Christ the righteous,
I'm justified.
This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. I testify from death to life. This is my testimony.
And feel the atmosphere. Your glory.
us experience.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Here we go.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place
and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory,
God, is what our hearts long for
to be.
Sing it out today, Holy Spirit. You're welcome.
The atmosphere,
your glory, God,
is what my heart longs for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, Lord.
Your glory,
that's what we long for.
God is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place today. Have your way in our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that you would touch every life. I pray that you would touch every heart, not only of those here present, but of those people that are watching this online. Lord, I thank you that your presence overcomes them wherever they may be, that your presence fills them right now. The presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody?
You know, I can't tell you how many times I've come to the end of myself, where I've been in situations where I felt like I've been, there's no way out, and there's no, I can't see the light. And when you get into the presence of the Holy Spirit, yes, there's something that starts to happen in you that doesn't come from anywhere else. Nothing else. When, just like we said, let's become aware of His presence. Father, I thank you for an awareness that begins to rise. I thank you just like a vapor just came and filled, the glory of the Lord just came and filled the room. We pray for the glory of the Lord just to flow through this place and right in the living rooms where people are watching. Father God, let your presence be felt.
Yes.
Let your presence be felt. Father, we see in the Word of God that when the presence of God moved in, that people fell on their faces, God, that your presence was so real and so strong. So we thank you for a powerful presence of God that just moves through here. We welcome you, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We welcome you, Holy Spirit.
Yes, we do.
Hallelujah.
Just say that yourself. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I welcome you
today.
Have your way in me, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Fulfilling me today.
Fulfilling me today.
In the name of Jesus.
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 Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Wow. Tell your neighbor. Just look at your neighbor and just say, wow.
Wow.
Nothing keeps you away, does it? Nothing keeps you from church. What are you talking about, hurricane? I never believe there's a hurricane until I actually see one myself. I go look out the front door. There's not even a wind. Now on the ocean front, there's some wind, right? There's some wind. But praise God, you didn't let it keep you away. Amen. We want to welcome those who are watching online today, all the members of Ascend Church that are watching. We're so glad you are. And people from all around the world, really. We're so glad you've tuned in. I want to ask you, please, to, if you're watching this on Facebook, put a comment. Say hi and tell us where you're watching from. Just comment on there. Hi, watching from here. And we're going to be praying right now. This is our prayer time. We had prayer before the service today. We had a powerful time of prayer before the service today. And one thing I was glad or impressed by, we had more men today than we had women at the prayer. It's usually the other way around. Last week we had a lot more women and very few men, but today the men came out and we had a powerful time of prayer. And I want to encourage you, let me tell you right now, it takes a man of God to stand up and pray. I'm calling upon the men in our church to rise up, become champions for God, become the priest in your home. Don't look to your wife to pray. You pray. You lead your house in prayer. You be the example.
Come here
and pray with us before service. This is the time where God is raising up men of God all over this country to stand for righteousness and to pray God's will to be done.
Amen.
And you know, when we pray, things happen. Things, prayer changes things. The Bible says Elijah was just one man and he prayed.
Right.
And the rain came down.
Yeah.
The rain came down. After three and a half years of famine, he prayed and the rain came. And the Bible says if two on earth, if just two will agree about anything they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. There is power when one person prays. There is more power when two people pray.
Right.
Let me tell you, things happen when you pray. The Bible says, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. When you call upon the Lord, He answers you.
Yeah.
Someone was just telling me this week, they came forward for prayer. Who was it now?
Samantha.
They came forward for prayer during the prayer time, and Anna, one of our members, prayed with her, and the next day she said, everything we prayed for happened. I said, well, are you surprised by that? When you pray, things happen. So we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray for those who are watching. I'm going to ask you to pray for everyone who's watching today. We're going to pray for, if you're here today and you need prayer, you're in the right place. I want to encourage you to come forward. I'm going to be here. We've got prayer leaders. We'll be here to pray with you. And before you hold them up, before I can hear them counting me in, I wanted to also say to Maria, we want to pray for our children's director, Maria Prim. Her dad passed away. And we so appreciate Maria and her wonderful dad. And it's been quite a long road. But praise the Lord. He's with the Lord right now. He's rejoicing. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we feel the loss because, you know, we've lost, but He's gained. And so we want to pray for Maria. And for Lord, we pray for Maria, for her family. We thank you. You're the God of comfort. We thank you for giving them comfort, for giving them peace in this time. Lord, we thank you that we take comfort in the fact that we know where Maria's dad is, that he's rejoicing. He's in heaven right now. No more pain, no more sighing, no more dying. We thank you, Lord. We'll see him again one day. And we thank you for comforting Maria's family in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need prayer today, I want you to come.
I want you to pray, Jill, for everyone watching this today, whatever their need may be.
Right now, Father, I lift up every person that is watching, people that are in this building. And you know the circumstances, you know the situations people face themselves in, Father, whether it is whether it is financial struggle, whether it is struggle in their home, whether it's a depression or suicide or trouble with their children, Father God, or a marriage issues, Father God, I just take authority over every demonic attack, over every person watching right now where you are. Say, I receive that, Father. I just speak over every illness. Yes. I command pain. Jesus took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses. I just speak to every sickness and pain, command it to go, to dissipate in the name of Jesus. We'll believe the report of the Lord and not the report of the doctor. The report of the Lord comes first. That is the, we may see fact, but we believe the truth of the word of God. And for right now, we just speak healing. We speak restoration. We speak peace into that circumstance right now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen.
And we speak healing across America, right. Father. Yes. We thank you. We call upon you. We look to you to heal this nation, bring peace in this nation. In the name of Jesus, we pray for revival across this nation, Lord. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen, somebody. How many of you agree Jesus is our champion today? Come on, let's sing it out. Lift your voice. Sing with us today. He is our champion.
I've tried so hard to see it. Took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken thing, raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants, they fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. I know who I am. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. This is my victory.
Come on, you guys, sing this part with us. Sing it out.
When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall By the power of your name, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. When I lift my voice,
when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my with the one who has conquered it all and all and all. And all.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, we got to know who we are in Christ. We got to know that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. And when you know that, when you know that, I tell you what, there's been times that there's circumstances come, whether one of my kids calls me or whether something happens, and you literally have to open your mouth. You'd have to walk and talk and declare the word of God over your situation. You've got to declare the victory even when you don't see the victory. Amen?
That's right.
Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them you're glad to see them. Welcome to you that are watching online. Recommend that you move forward. Sorry, Pastor Steve's doing you're doing it one by one, right? Praise God. Well, welcome to church this morning. Welcome to those watching online. So glad that you have the opportunity to join in the service with us today. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. And I just want to say to you, if you are on Facebook, go ahead and share the live stream right now. It gives people a reminds them that church is on right now. They may be sitting there thinking, I wonder about this, I wonder about that, and God has the word for them right now. So go ahead and do that. We appreciate it. And I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. Do we have anyone visiting for the first time today? I don't see any first-time visitors today. No, Chris, I know you. I know you. You've been around a while, right? Remind you of the four purposes of our church. The first one is that we would know God. Second one is that we would find freedom. discover your purpose, and make a difference with your life. Amen. You got a good message for us this morning, right? Do you want me to preach, or are you going to come? I'm ready. Yeah.
All right.
Are you surprised? Kind of look surprised.
No, well, I was standing there waiting for you, then you were carrying on talking, so I thought you weren't finished yet.
Let me just say one more thing, just as I look over there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Carly, on the piano, when I looked at you this morning, I see your emoji, I see your smiley emoji, but I just sense that you've been through some challenges. You've had some difficult things come against you. But the Lord wants to encourage you today to say that that is going to be the look on your face. That is going to be, you're going to have that, you're going to have a look of relief. You're going to have a look of God has provided. God has made a way where there seemed to be no way. That's the word for you today.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. Yes, I want to ask you, those who are sitting at the back, in fact, everybody, let's stand up together, everybody, right now. Could you stand up for me? All those sitting at the back, move a little bit closer. I've got some empty chairs right here down. Come a little bit closer. I had a shower today. I put on deodorant. I used my fancy perfume today. If you're the closer you get, you may even smell it. That's how good it is. Tell someone, I'm glad you're here today. Nothing keeps you away from church. Someone sent me a, come on, Josh, come a little bit forward. Is that you? A little bit forward. Barry sent me a text yesterday. He responded to the group text that I send out. How many of you get that group text I send out every Friday? You all get that group text? If you don't get the group text, you should get it. Just if you text 313131, the word is send, that'll put you on our text list, but you should get it. But he replied to the text and said, no matter, I'll be there regardless of the weather. Regardless of the weather, I'll be there. I love to hear that. Doesn't matter what the weather's like, I'm going to be there. Me too. And you too. Amen. We're going to have a good time here today. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your presence today, Lord. We thank you that you are good. You're our protector. You're faithful. We thank you, Lord, today for your word. Lord, I thank you that you help me and you anoint me to speak your word today. I thank you that you carry your word to every person's heart, that you cause our faith to rise, Lord, that you remove all doubt, all unbelief, Father. Thank you for bringing revelation, understanding. And Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that is said and everything that is done. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. You can sit down. What do I have on my mouth? Toothpaste or something? What do I have? I got toothpaste on my mouth. Well, I want to say thank you to the band. They did a wonderful job today. Thank you for being here today. Not letting anything keep you away. They got here early. Thank you so much. You did a great job today. We had a great time of prayer before the service. We prayed from 9:15 to 9:45. People ask me, people text me, are we having church? Are we having church? Listen, if there's a Category 5 hurricane actually blowing outside there, church is canceled. If there's the threat of a hurricane, we're still on. Do you understand? Because if I canceled every time there was a threat of something, we'd be canceling every other week. It's got to actually physically, I can't get outside my house. Then church is canceled. But otherwise, we're here. Isn't that right? And I want to just once again welcome everyone who's watching us online, all of the members of Ascend Church. We miss you, but we're glad you're watching. Please put a comment there. Hi, Pastor Steve, watching from here. God bless. Let us know you're watching. And as my wife said, share this if you're watching on Facebook. You can watch this on Facebook. You can watch it at our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch it in English. You can watch it with a Spanish translation. You can watch it on YouTube. We have our YouTube channel, Ascend Church. And you can watch it on our mobile app. There's a lot of different ways you can watch the service. But we're so glad that you are here this morning. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready to get the right perspective. Because that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the right perspective. And the word perspective, it means
to have a particular attitude toward or a way of regarding something, or it means a point of view. You could say it this way, that your perspective is the way you see things. It really is how you see things. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 2, it says, see things from His perspective. God wants us to see things, to view our life, our circumstance, whatever we face, He wants us to look at it from His perspective. You say, well, how do I do that, Pastor Steve? How do I look at it from God's perspective? Well, it's very simple. God's perspective is in His Word. And the more that you read and study your Bible, the more you'll see things from His perspective. If you want to know how God sees things, read the Word of God. That He tells you how He views things. And your perspective is so important because really, your perspective determines what God can do in your life. Your perspective determines your happiness. Amen? I always tell you that gratefulness is the cure for discontentment. Gratefulness is the cure for discouragement. When you start to be grateful for the good things in your life, instead of looking at what you don't have, you start thanking God for what you do have, your whole perspective changes. Your whole demeanor changes. And you know, David understood how important our perspective is, King David, because in Psalm 73, he's talking about how he was discouraged. He was kind of upset because he saw wicked, cruel people who had no fear of God, yet they had prosperity. And David couldn't understand it. Maybe you've kind of questioned that yourself. You see someone, they seem to be so successful or wealthy, and yet they don't believe anything in God, and you may wonder, well, Lord, why is that? Well, David said in Psalm 73, verse 17, David said, but then one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God, and in the light of glory, my distorted perspective vanished. I pray that if you have any perspective that is distorted, I pray that it will vanish today in the presence of God as you hear the Word of God. He said, then I understood that the destiny of the wicked was near. They're the ones who are on the slippery path, and God will suddenly let them slide off into destruction to be consumed with terrors forever. It will be an instant end to all their life of ease. In a blink of an eye, they're swept away by sudden calamity. Now, James in the New Testament, he really said the same thing. In James 5 verse 1, he said, listen, all you who are rich, for it's time to weep and howl over the misery that will overtake you. Your riches lie rotting, your fine clothing eaten by moths. Your gold and your silver are corroded as a witness against you. You have hoarded up treasures for the last days, but it will become a fire to burn your flesh. Listen, can't you hear the cries of the laborers over the wages you have fraudulently held back from those who work for you? The cries for justice of those you've cheated have reached the ears of the Lord of the armies. You have indulged yourself with every luxury and pleasure this world offers, but you're only stuffing your heart full for a day of slaughter. You've condemned and murdered good and innocent people who had no power to defend themselves. Now, is God opposed to us being rich? No. God's not opposed to us being rich. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. So God's blessing can make you rich. God's not opposed to being rich. God's not opposed to us being rich. He's opposed to us being covetous. He's opposed to us being greedy. He's opposed to us loving money more than we love Him. You see, Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 36, how does a man benefit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul in the process? The Passion Bible says, what use is it to gain all the wealth and power of the world with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life? Now, many people have a distorted perspective when it comes to wealth or riches. What is the right perspective about wealth?
The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he gives us the correct perspective we should have concerning wealth. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Tell those who are rich not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone, but their pride and trust should be in the living God, who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. You see, God wants to give you everything you need for your enjoyment. God wants to bless you. He just wants you to make sure that your trust is in Him, not in your money. You understand the right perspective. Verse 18, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works. They should give happily to those in need. They should always be ready to share with others whatever God has given unto them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity, and they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. So, family, the right perspective about money is that God wants me to have it, but He doesn't want money to have me. I can't say it any simpler than that. And let me tell you, tithing is the test of where your heart is. Tithing proves God is first in my life, money's not first in my life. If you want to know, that is the greatest purpose that God gives us to tithe, is because it proves where our heart really is. Because if I can give 10% of my money to God, I'm proving that I'm trusting Him and I'm not trusting my money. You understand the right perspective? One of my jobs is to change people's wrong perspectives, because so many people have a wrong perspective about God. Jesus, when Jesus was on the earth, He changed people's perspectives. The Bible says in Luke 19, verse 12, Jesus told them this story to change their perspective. See, some of us need a perspective change, because every one of us face challenges. But it's not the size of the problem that's important. It's our perception of the problem. That is what matters. It's how big or how small we make it in our own minds. You see, your perspective determines what God can do for you. Your perspective determines whether or not you enjoy your life. It's so important to keep the right perspective. When God sent the 12, when Moses sent the 12 spies to go spy out the promised land, and 10 of the spies came back, and they said, Moses, we don't have a chance. There's giants in the land. They're much stronger than we are. There's no way we can take the land. But the other two men, the other two spies, Joshua and Caleb, they had a different report. They said, yes, the people are big, but we know our God is bigger. We're well able to take the land. The Lord is on our side. Let's go at once. Let's go right now. Let's go take possession. We can do what God said we can do. Now listen, both groups saw the same people. They both saw the same circumstance. The only difference was their perspective. Because one group was focused on the size of the enemy, and the other group was focused on the size of their God. Let me tell you, out of 2 million people camped right next to the promised land, the only two from that group that ever made it into the promised land was Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they had the right perspective. Could it be that our perspective is keeping us from God's promises that He's given to us? Because if we view our challenge as impossible, if we go around telling ourselves, I'm never going to get well, I'm never going to get out of debt, I'm never going to accomplish my dreams, I'm never going to meet the right person, I'm never going to overcome this challenge, then let me tell you, just like them, our own wrong perspective can keep us from God's best. See, what we focus on is what we magnify. If you stay focused on your problems all the time, and you just focus on all that you don't have and how it'll never work out, and all you're really doing is making it bigger than it really is. Because when you magnify something, you don't change the size of the object, you change your perception of the size of the object. That's why David said in Psalm 34, verse 3, magnify the Lord with me. Let's magnify the Lord together. What is David saying? David is saying, if you're going to make anything bigger, don't make your problems bigger.
Don't magnify your problems. Don't magnify the enemy. Don't make the medical report bigger. Don't make the opposition bigger. Learn to make God bigger. Magnify the Lord. And it's interesting to me, David never called Goliath a giant. Everybody else did. Everybody else spoke about how big Goliath was, how strong Goliath was. They spoke about his ability. Everyone else spoke about it, but David didn't. You know what David called Goliath? David called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. Hey, you uncircumcised Philistine. What does that mean? Well, Goliath wasn't in covenant with God. And circumcision was a sign of the covenant. So David wouldn't even give him credit for being that big. David didn't deny it, but he didn't dwell on it. David's attitude was, if I'm going to magnify anything, I'm going to magnify the source of my strength. I'm going to talk about the greatness of my God. I'm not going to focus on how big my problem is. I'm going to focus on how big my God is. Now, David's brothers and all the other Israelites, they were afraid. They were hiding. Even King Saul, King Saul was head and shoulders bigger than anybody else. King Saul was very, very big, very tall, and he was intimidated. They didn't know what to do. And when David told them that he wanted to fight Goliath, they all said to him, listen, man, you don't have a chance. You're too small. You're just a kid. But David had a different perspective. He knew if God be for him, then who dare be against him? Amen. He knew he was strong in the Lord, and all the forces of heaven were backing him up. And let me tell you, they tried to warn David. They said, David, you better be careful. You better not fight Goliath. He's too big to hit. But David said, no, he's too big to miss. And David stood in front of Goliath and he declared in 1 Samuel 17, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied today. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. All this assembly will know the Lord doesn't save with a sword and with a spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands, Goliath. I mean, you talk about boldness, man. What was David doing? He's magnifying his God. He's talking about the greatness of God. Isn't that right? And you all know what happened. This teenage boy, half Goliath's size, with no military training whatsoever, he defeated a 10-foot champion. Why? Because David had the right perspective. The Bible says in Philippians 1, verse 28, do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents. Don't ever be intimidated. Don't ever be frightened. No matter what may oppose you. The Passion Bible says never be shaken. Never be intimidated by the opposition that rises up against you. Let me tell you, some of you, like David, you're up against a giant in your health, or a giant in your finances, or a giant in a relationship. Let me tell you, it may look big. You could easily be overwhelmed and think, man, I don't have a chance. But God is saying to you today, don't be intimidated, because those that are for you are much greater than those that are against you. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper or be successful. You should put your shoulders back and put your head up high, because you are not weak, defeated, and powerless. But you're a child of the Most High God, and you've been anointed, and you've been equipped, and you are well able to overcome whatever opposition may come against you. Don't you dare go around thinking to yourself, I'm never going to break this addiction, Pastor Steve. I've had it forever. I'm never going to overcome this obstacle. It's just too big. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm never going to meet the right person. I'm never going to accomplish my dreams. No, rather be like David and have the right perspective. You're full of can-do power. The greatest force in the universe lives on the inside of you. There's no challenge that is too much for you. There's no sickness that is too great. There's no dream that is too big. There's no obstacle that is too high. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. Can you say amen, somebody? Let me tell you, the enemy wouldn't be fighting you so hard if he didn't know that God had something great in your future. Because you got to remember, the size of the challenge is an indication of the size of your destiny. If you got a big problem, don't be discouraged. It means God has something amazing in front of you. He's got a new level of your destiny up ahead of you. Amen. Do you know what made David king? Do you know what caused David to become king? Goliath. Goliath was what caused David to become the king. God used the opposition to get him to the throne. And when you face difficulty, it's because God's trying to get you to your throne. He's trying to take you to a higher level. Can you say amen? That opposition, it may have been meant for your harm, but God will turn it around and he'll use it to your advantage. Amen? Let me tell you, the giant was never meant to defeat you. The giant was meant to promote you. You may be in a tough time right now, but the right perspective that you need to have is, I'm not staying here. This is just temporary. I'm not buried, I'm planted. I'm going to come back up again stronger, healthier, wiser, better off than what I was before. Can you say amen, somebody? That's what it says in Exodus 1 verse 12. It says, the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. That's talking about the children of Israel. The more opposition they faced, the more they increased. When you face opposition, don't start complaining, God, why is this happening to me? Oh, poor old me. This isn't fair. No, rather your declaration should be, I know this opposition is a sure sign that increase is coming. It might look like a setback, but I know the truth. It's a setup. It's not going to be a stumbling block that's going to hold me down. God's going to use this as a stepping stone to take me to a higher level in my life. You got to have a vision of victory. Can you say amen? That's what David had, a vision of victory. Because sometimes we're talking to God about how big our problems are. We're telling God about all our big problems, but we should be talking to our problems and telling them how big our God is. That's what David did. Amen? Goliath was mocking David, making fun of David because David was so small. David was so young. Goliath said, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick? Don't you have anyone bigger than this little runt? I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David looked him right in the eye. He said, hey, listen here, big mouth. You come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God whom you've defied of the armies of Israel. And this day the Lord will deliver you in my hand, and I will defeat you, and I will cut your head off, and I will give the carcasses of all the Philistines to the birds of the air today, that they may know there's a God in Israel. I tell you what, I love David's attitude. I don't know about you, but David didn't say, well, I sure hope so. I'm sure I'm really praying about it. I'm really believing God for it. No, family, David spoke out in faith, and we should do the same. Our declaration should be, I will have a blessed 2020. I will have a blessed 2020 in the name of Jesus. I will live healthy and strong. God protects me from disease. I will break this addiction. I will fulfill my God-given destiny. I will become everything God destined me to be in the name of Jesus. Amen. You got to have a made-up mind. Don't be intimidated by the medical report. Don't be intimidated what the news media say. Let me tell you, some of you, the best thing you could do is turn off the news media. Some of you, I spoke to a lady the other day. She said, I stopped watching the news. She said, I've got so much peace right now. I've got so much peace. Some of you, it'd be a good idea, turn off the news. Don't be intimidated by that legal situation. Don't be intimidated over the size of your dream. Because if we're not careful, it's easy when we begin to think to ourselves, I could never accomplish what God has put in my heart. I don't have the resources. I don't have the education. I don't have the connections. I'm such an underdog. I'm so in debt. Let me tell you can talk yourself into being defeated, or you can talk yourself into living a mediocre life. But you got to remember that we serve a supernatural God, and he's not limited by your job, and he's not limited by the economy. It may be impossible with men, but all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Could it be that your perspective is keeping God from doing something amazing in your life? Could it be that you've already decided that the giants are too big and you don't have what it takes? You'll never get to that level. Listen, you got to have a new perspective. You got to take the limits off of God, family. Quit telling God what you can't do. Quit telling God how you don't have the connections. Quit telling God how you're never going to get ahead. Let me tell you, God has ways to increase you that you never even thought about. In your future, God has already lined up the right people. He's lined up the right breaks. He has explosive blessings that are going to catapult you to a whole new level in your life. In the name of Jesus, listen, you're not limited by your background. You're not limited by how you were raised. You're not limited by your education. You're not limited by past mistakes. Don't limit God in your life. That's what the Israelites did. They limited God. The Bible says in Psalm 78, again and again, they limited God. They prevented him from blessing them. Continually, they turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel. The Bible says they were the ones who limited God. They were the ones who prevented God from blessing them. Do you know you can limit God from blessing you? How? You limit God with your thinking. You limit God with your words. If you think you've reached your limits, then you have. If you think the giant's too big, then you're defeated. You've got to change your perspective, family. You were never created to be average. God didn't breathe his life into us for us to just barely get by and be intimidated by our dreams, convinced the giants are too big. No, God's destiny for you is to live an overcoming life of victory. God destined you, say, God destined me to be an overcomer. That's what it says in 1 John 5 verse 4. You see, every child of God overcomes the world. For our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Say, my faith is the victorious power that causes me to triumph over the world. Let me tell you, God created you to be an overcomer. Say, God created me to be an overcomer. You may be facing a big challenge today. I'm not asking you to deny it. I'm just asking you, don't dwell on it. Don't let it consume you. Don't think about that problem all the time. Don't go around looking on the internet, searching, and find 20 different five ways you can die from that pain that you got in your side. Do like David. And downplay it. Don't be intimidated by thoughts telling you it's too big, it's never going to change. Let me tell you, in the battle, more than ever, you have to guard your mind. That's the enemy's number one target. He knows if he can control your thought life, then he can keep you in a place of defeat. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know why he has to seek whom he may devour? Because he can't devour everybody. He's going to look for the ones who will allow him, who will give him a place in their life. But he's looking for those who he can devour. Say, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of those he can devour. Now, it doesn't say that the devil is a roaring lion. It says that he acts like one. He impersonates one. In other words, he's got a big bark. He'll bring thoughts to you. You're never going to get well. This sickness is going to be the end of you. You've seen your best days. You've got to resist the devil and cast those thoughts down. You just tell him, no, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by how it looks. I'm moved by what I know. I know the creator of the universe has me in the palm of his hand. I know that he's restoring health to me. I know that all things are going to work together for my good in the name of Jesus. You know, that's what Dodie Osteen, Pastor Joel Osteen's mother, 1981 was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Her doctor gave her a few weeks to live, just a few weeks. There was nothing they could do. She would lay in her bed and thoughts would come into her mind. Oh, you can wear that new red dress that you bought to your funeral. She'd have the thought come to her mind. You can have them bury you in those white shoes that you got last month. The thoughts were giving her the worst possible scenario. See, if you don't guard your mind, it's easy to lose perspective and get the wrong perspective and start magnifying the problem rather than magnifying God. You can't stop the negative thoughts from coming. Say, I can't stop the negative thoughts from coming, but I don't have to dwell on them.
I don't have to think about them. See, when thoughts come, we should immediately replace them with what God says about us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. You see, when you get a thought come to your mind that is different to what God's Word says, the Bible says, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When you get that thought, you're not going to have enough. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. You're not going to be able to do this. You've got to realize where that thought's coming from, and you've got to cast it down. You've got to capture it and say, no, my God supplies all my needs. That's how you capture thoughts, and that's how you take them prisoner. When the thought came to Dodie Osteen about being buried in a red dress and a little white shoes, she said, no, with long life, He will satisfy me and show me His salvation. That's what it says in Psalm 91:16. With long life, I'll satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Anytime the enemy comes to you and says, you're going to die, you say, no, with long life, He satisfies me and shows me His salvation. When the thought came to her, you're never going to get well. The doctor said, you only got a few weeks to live. She would replace it. No. My God is restoring health to me. That's what the Word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. The doctor says, I've got 6 weeks to live. The Lord says, I will heal you of your wounds and restore health to you. Who are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? When the thought came to her, this is the end. You're done. She would say, no, I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. That's what God says in Psalm 118, verse 17. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. Praise God. Let me tell you, you know what the good news is? 39 years later, she's still going strong. 39 years later, she's still going strong. Not that long ago, she went to the funeral of the doctor, the same one who told her she wasn't going to make it. She went to his funeral. Let me tell you, when the thought comes to you that you're not going to make it financially, don't magnify that. Replace it with what God says. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the perspective you've got to have. When the enemy tells you you'll never break that addiction, don't magnify that. Replace it with what God says. John 8 verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And in Galatians 5 verse 1, it says, let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. God says, I've been set free. When their thought comes, you never break that addiction, that's a lie. The Lord has set me free. I've been set completely and wonderfully free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When the enemy tells you you're never going to overcome that problem, don't magnify that. Rather magnify what God says. What does God say? Genesis 18 verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? How many know the answer to that one? No. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Our Lord, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Say, there's nothing too hard for God. Matthew 19 verse 26. Jesus looked at them and he said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Say, all things are possible for God. Say, nothing that I face is too hard for the Lord. Are you getting this? I heard about this little boy. He lived down the street from a big bully. This big bully was always bothering this little boy. And this little boy was trying to get up the nerve to stand up against him. He just didn't have the confidence. He was too afraid. One day, his dad bought him a telescope. And he was out in the front yard playing with a telescope. But he was looking through the wrong end of the telescope. He was looking through the big end of the telescope. And his father came and said, you need to turn that around. You're looking through the wrong end of the telescope, because if you look through the other end, it'll make the object appear bigger. The little boy said, no, Dad, right now I'm looking at that bully. And when I see him, he's this tiny. It makes him so small, I'm not afraid of him anymore. Let me tell you, some of you need to turn your telescope around, because you've magnified the problem long enough.
You thought about how impossible it is and how it's never going to work out. But if you could just turn it around, you would get the right perspective. You would realize it's no big deal. All God has to do is breathe in your direction. Let me tell you right now, that dream that seems so impossible, if you would just by faith turn your telescope around, you'd realize all it takes is one touch of God's favor, just one phone call, just one good break, just meeting one right person, and everything can turn around for you. Let me tell you, it's amazing what God will do if you'll just have the right perspective. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, the people of Judah, they were surrounded by three armies. I mean, these armies came to destroy them. In the natural, they didn't have a chance. They were outnumbered 10 to 1. But instead of panicking, complaining, Jehoshaphat got everyone together and they began to pray. And Jehoshaphat didn't say, "Poor old us. Oh God, why is this happening to us?" No, he began to talk about the greatness of God. In 2 Chronicles 20 verse 6, he said, "Oh Lord God of our fathers, you are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you?" He began to thank God for all that God had done in the past. He began to remember the victories that God had given them, how God drove the inhabitants out the land and God gave the promised land unto Israel. And he went on and he said in verse 7, "Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and you gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they've turned from them and they didn't destroy them. And now here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of the position which you have given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. And we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. We are looking unto you." Let me tell you, what was he doing in his time of difficulty? He was making sure that he had the right perspective. He was magnifying God and not magnifying the problem. He put the singers out in the front of the army, and the singers went marching into battle, singing, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever." And the Bible says, as they begin to magnify God, do you know what happened? As they begin to magnify God, it says in verse 22, the moment that they began to sing, the moment they began to praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to begin fighting among themselves, and they destroyed each other. There wasn't one left of the enemy. Let me tell you, in the same way, in our times of difficulty, instead of complaining, "Oh Lord, the economy's so bad. Oh, that coronavirus is going to be the end of me. I don't think my child's ever going to straighten up. I don't see I'm ever going to get well. I don't see I'm ever going to meet the right person." Let me tell you, if you talk defeat, you're going to have defeat. You've got to be like Jehoshaphat. You've got to say, "God, you're an awesome God. You created the whole universe. There's nothing that is too hard for you. There's nothing that is too difficult for you. I'm not worried about this problem, Lord. I know you're greater than this financial difficulty. You make streets out of gold. I know you're more powerful than this sickness. I know that you made my body. You are my healer. You keep me healthy." Let me tell you, when you magnify God, faith begins to rise up in your heart. When you talk about God's greatness, your problems get smaller and smaller. The more you magnify God, the smaller your problems get. The more you magnify the problems, the smaller that God gets. It's good to do what Jehoshaphat did. Look back over your life. Remember the great things that the Lord has done for you. Lord, I remember Jill and I, how we got our first home. We never had any money, but you made a way. We got our first home. I remember, Lord, how you protected Jill when she was in a car accident that really, she could have been killed. Not a scratch on her. I remember, Lord, how you healed me. I used to have warts all over my hands and warts on my feet. One day I prayed and I cursed them and they all went away. I remember how you gave us this building, Lord, when all the odds were against us. I remember when we were on Center Street and we were paying $26,000 a month mortgage and $3,000 a month insurance, almost $30,000 a month. And then we lost that building. And I thought, what are we going to do? I didn't see a way out. But I said, "Lord, I thank you. You make a way where I don't see a way." I said, "I thank you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for my harm and you turn it for my good." And here we are, just a little while later, in a better building on the Indian Town, the main road of our city. And our mortgage isn't $29,000. Our mortgage is $12,500. And we've got three people leasing and we're paying half our mortgage with the people that are leasing the building. So our mortgage is really $6,500. We went from $26,000 to $6,500. 1,000. Let me tell you, God, nothing is too hard for the Lord. I remember what the Lord has done. I remember what God has delivered me. He's provided for me for the last 40 years, family. When you remember the great things that God has done, you'll know if God did it for you back then, He'll do it for you again right now. Amen. One time in the scripture, the prophet Elijah, he was facing a major challenge, and 400 false prophets of Baal had come against him, and they had a contest to see which God was real. And Elijah ended up calling down fire from heaven, and he destroyed those 400 false prophets. It was one of the highlights of his life. We went over to Israel, where they have a statue of Elijah with a sword on Mount Carmel. We destroyed the 400 prophets. It was one of the highlights of his life. But there was a lady whose name was Jezebel. King Ahab had married her. She was the daughter of the king of the Zidonians, and they worshiped Baal. And King Ahab, the king of Israel, started worshiping Baal, and he started building altars unto Baal. And she, this queen, Jezebel, was furious when she heard what happened to her prophets. And she sent a message to Elijah. And she said in 1 Kings 19, "You killed my prophets, and now I swear by the gods, I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow night." When Elijah heard this, he was so afraid, he took off running. I mean, he ran and he ran and he ran and he ran, and finally he stopped and he hid under a tree. And he was so discouraged. He was so afraid. He cried out in 1 Kings 19, verse 4. He cried out, "I've had enough." He told the Lord, "Take away my life. I've got to die sometime. It might as well be now." You ever been to pray like that? "Lord, why don't you just kill me now? I can't get any worse, Lord. I might as well just die right now. I've had enough, Lord." He had just seen God rain down fire from heaven. He had just seen God give him victory over 400 prophets of Baal. Now he's allowing one angry woman cause him to want to give up and quit. I'm not saying anything more about that. What happened? What happened, Elijah? He lost his perspective. If he just remembered what he'd just seen God did a few days earlier, he wouldn't have been so afraid. I wonder how many times we do the same thing. We've all seen God do great things in our life. Amen. We've seen God protect us. We've seen God show us favor. We've seen God cause us to be at the right place at the right time. But if we're not careful, when we face a challenge, we think, "Oh, this is never going to change. Oh, the enemy's so big. Oh, this is so difficult." No, the same God who brought you through the last time is standing by your side, and he's ready to bring you through this time again in the name of Jesus. The same God who made a way last year is going to make a way this year. The same God who showed you his mercy, showed you his goodness, showed you his favor. Let me tell you, he hasn't lost his power. He's still on the throne. He's still the great I am. He's still the God who is more than enough. Can you say amen, somebody? If you'll have the right perspective, if you believe God is bigger, believe right now God is fighting your battles for you, then you will see his power, you will see his mercy, you will see his goodness once again like you've seen it in the past. You got to remember your victories because it helps you not to lose perspective. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the Syrian army quietly one night they snuck up and they surrounded the prophet Elisha's house. The next day early, Elisha's assistant, his servant, went out and he saw the army of the Syrians. There were thousands of troops and chariots. Everywhere he looked, he just saw Syrian army, and they'd come to capture Elisha. And the servant went in to Elisha. He said, "Elisha, I got bad news. We are surrounded. What are we going to do? We don't stand a chance. There are thousands of the Syrian army out there." I love Elisha's attitude because he had a different perspective. In 2 Kings 6, verse 16, Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them." Can you just imagine the servant saying, "What do you mean, Elisha?"
1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 soldiers? One, two. How can there be more with us than with them? Elijah prayed a very simple prayer. He said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. I thought his eyes were already open. That's the problem, what he saw with his eyes. But you see, Elijah was talking about these eyes, the spiritual eyes. He was saying, God, help him to have the right perspective. Let him know who's really on our side. And the Bible says that then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. What did he see? Behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The army of God was all around Elisha. He saw into the unseen spiritual realm. He saw the vast host of the heavenly armies. All across the mountainside, there were these thousands of powerful warring angels dressed ready for battle. And once he saw that, he wasn't intimidated anymore. He got the right perspective. He knew there's more with us than there are with them. Let me tell you, you may be facing a big challenge today, but God is saying the same thing to you that Elisha said to that young man. Don't be afraid. Those that are for you are greater than those that are against you. I pray that God will open your eyes today in the name of Jesus, that you see beyond your own natural limitations and see God's unlimited, immeasurable, surpassing great power that is there for those who will believe him. I pray that God will open our eyes, that we will see beyond our current circumstances, and instead we will look to God's supernatural power. There is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing too difficult for him. God, open our eyes that we will see beyond our own inabilities and see your supernatural ability in the name of Jesus. That's what David prayed in Psalm 121. He said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? No, my help doesn't come from the mountains. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Listen, you may be surrounded by problems and maybe you can't see how you can get out of it, but don't look at your present situation. Keep the right perspective. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 18, he said, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The New Living Translation says, we don't look at the troubles that we can see now, but rather we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. What's he talking about? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Let me tell you, the only thing that is eternal and that will never change is the word of God. Your circumstance can change. God's word will never change. The things you see will change. God's word will never change. The Passion Bible says it like this. The earth and the sky will wear out and fade away before one word I speak loses its power or fails to accomplish its purpose. Let me tell you, God's word is the only thing that remains forever and never changes. God watches over his word to perform it, to make it good. In Jeremiah 1:12, that's what it says. Then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and I am active and I am watching over my word to perform it. Do you know that God says that he watches over his word to perform it? God makes sure his word comes to pass. And when you believe the word of God and you magnify God's word and you magnify the Lord and you're not moved by what you see, but you keep looking at God's word, let me tell you right now, God will watch over his word and make sure that it comes to pass in your life. Joshua 23, verse 14, it says, not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. God's word can be counted on. God's word is eternal. God's word is reliable. Get your eyes on your all-powerful, almighty creator. Quit talking to God about how big your problems are and start talking to your problems about how big your God is. Amen. That obstacle, it may be high, but our God is the most high. Your enemy may be powerful, but our God is all powerful. You got to keep the right perspective. Turn the telescope around. Don't focus on the size of the problem. Focus on the size of our God. He brought you through in the past.
He's going to bring you through in the future. I speak strength to you today in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to you today. I speak determination. I speak confidence. I declare you will not be intimidated in the name of Jesus, no matter what you face. Friends, the tide of the battle, it is turning in Jesus' name. You will not be overcome. You will be the overcomer. You will not be the victim. You'll be the victor. God is fighting your battles for you. God is going to defeat your enemies for you. You got to keep the right perspective because it's your faith that causes you to triumph. God's turning what the enemy meant for your harm to your advantage. You are full of can-do power. God is with you. God is for you. God is in you. Nothing can stand against you. No weapon formed against you can succeed. In the name of Jesus, God supplies all your needs. My God will supply all your needs. The Lord is protecting you from sickness. Now magnify the Lord. Don't magnify your problems. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. Keep the right perspective in the name of Jesus. Do you receive this today? Did you get something out of this today? Give the Lord thanks and praise today, wherever you may be watching this today. Keep the right perspective. What's the right perspective? I'm magnifying God. I'm magnifying what He says. I believe what He says. I'm not moved. I don't look. I'm not. The Bible says, don't, what does it say? We don't look at the things we can see. I'm not focused on the way things look right now. The Word of God never changes, and I'm magnifying God's promises. Not one of His promises ever fail. You keep that perspective, no matter what you face, God will give you victory. God will bring you out. Every enemy defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Father, I pray for every person watching this today. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have the right perspective. Help us to see things from your perspective. Help us to always magnify you. Magnify your word, Lord. Focus on you. Cast down every thought that would oppose what your word says. Lord, we believe we are everything you say. We can do everything that you say we can do. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you.
Good preaching.
Thank you.
Your faith built. Amen. Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And I always like to read a scripture to base what we're doing, to have an understanding of God's perspective on money. Amen. And I want to thank those that have given online. Many people, even as the service has been going on, people have been giving online. It's such a blessing. You know, there's some of you that we haven't even seen for months. But thank God you've tithed every week and every month, and it's been such a blessing to the church. Amen. So easy to give. Just go give online, and you click that on YouTube or on Facebook, on our app or on our website. And the first time you do it, it's just one time set up, and then it's real simple after that. So various ways to give. I just want to read one verse. The Bible says, in Leviticus 27, verse 30, it says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Now, you know, sometimes we think about the word holy and we think of kind of pious. Like, you know, if I thought about holy in the past, I would have thought good or pious. But holy actually means dedicated or consecrated to God or religious or for a religious purpose. That's what the dictionary says, dedicated. So the Bible is saying that all the tithe is dedicated or it is to be consecrated, set apart. Means it is already, it already belongs to the Lord, right? The tithe, the first tenth already belongs to the Lord. So the Israelites, who this was written to, it says the Israelites didn't wait to feel inspired to tithe, right? They were expected to tithe. And on top of that, they were expected to give free will offerings. So it really wasn't when Moses, when they spoke about tithing, they didn't talk about, it wasn't a suggestion or just some inspiration. It was a command. It belonged to God. It's actually returning to God. I was chatting to Joey and Jen. We had lunch with them the other day, and he said to us, he said, when they always would usually would tithe, But he said when he got the revelation that all he was doing was returning what actually belonged to God, it's like he's like his whole perspective changed. And it was like, there's no way I'm not going to do that. There's no way I'm not going to return to God what actually is set apart for him. It belongs to him, right? And it's amazing because this is the way that God finances his church. In Leviticus, it was talking about the Levites, the work of God, and was financed by the tithes of the people. And it's the same today. It's just, you know, sometimes people want to come up with ideas and schemes and, you know, you can have car wash and we could have a bake sale and we could do this and we can raise money. But let me tell you honestly that if people would just give the first tenth of what they earn, if we would do what we'd give back to God, what's his, he uses that to finance his kingdom. Amen. And God wants us to bring our tithe into his house, bring our tenth into his house. And then there are blessings attached. I love this. You know, the Bible says that God will bless us, that he'll open the windows of heaven. But we were talking to Nate, you know, Nate who was singing today. Nate is a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch. And he says that when he gives people financial advice, he says to them, you know, that by giving and having a deduction from the IRS, you can actually move yourself from one tax bracket into another. Like, people don't realize that there's actually even financial benefits in the natural as well as in the supernatural. Amen. I'm quoting you, brother. I'm quoting you. He said, "You, that's what you do. You tell people, right, Nate? You tell people that you have to give because it's a financial deduction, right?" That's awesome. So anyway, thank you for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let's pray right now. Father, I pray for every man, every woman, every family, every household, every business owner. Right now, Father, those that are bringing their tithe faithfully, returning it to you. Father God, we just thank you no matter what the circumstances, our eyes are on you. Thank you for new avenues, new streams of income. Yes. Thank you for providing in a way, a supernatural way, Father, even when it doesn't look like it in the natural. We thank you. Our eyes are on you. We trust
you. Thank you, Lord.
You are Jehovah Jireh. If you didn't provide, you'd have to change your name.
Yes.
You are our provider.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen and amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. We want to thank everyone, all of our faithful givers and tithers, all of you giving online, so faithful, thank you. I want you to know, I pray for you every day. And as you honor the Lord, he honors you. He'll provide every need. Amen. Thanks for being here today. I want to thank everyone who served in God's house today. Thank you to all of our servant leaders who served in media, children's church today, the worship team, the ushers, the greeters. We appreciate you. Won't you stand with us as we go today? Come on, let's sing it together. You my champion. As we go home, let's sing this one more time. Let's declare it. You are my champion, Lord. We worship you. We praise you. We bless you today.
You are my champion. Giants that fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. By the power of your name, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all.
Hallelujah, come on. Give him praise today, church.
Bye, everybody.
God bless.
Have a great week.
We'll see you next week. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Praise God. Oh, it's just out of my car.